9:05, welcome back to the Chad Easty Show on News Talk 790 KFYO and online at KFYO.com. Of course, you can listen via the Radio Pup app, absolutely free to download and listen to the show wherever you travel. Phone lines open to you at 770-5790, toll free 1-800-687-0790. Got Ariel on the other side, Jody as well. And joining me right now to talk about one of the big stories that has lasted weeks, months now, U.S. Senator John Cornyn. Senator Cornyn, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Chad. Good to be with you.
Well, appreciate you coming on today. The reason that you're here, of course, is to talk border security, but also the Humane Act, something that you've been talking about and written about for National Review. Go ahead and tell our listeners a little bit about the piece of legislation that you're working on.
Well, Chad, we've discovered that the criminal organizations, the drug cartels, and the people who smuggle children and other illegal immigrants from Central America through Mexico into the southern part of Texas, that they've discovered a loophole in a 2008 law that really was dealt with something entirely different. It actually was a desire to deal with human trafficking, and particularly trafficking of children. But what they've discovered is, because the Border Patrol and Health and Human Services don't have the ability or the authority to detain and hold these children pending any court hearing they might have, that what's happening is that they're being released to a family member who themselves may not be legally present in the United States, along with a notice to appear to our court hearing maybe a year or more later. And among law enforcement officials, this is called a notice to disappear. In Central America, they've gotten the message from both from this loophole, but also because of the president's policies, which make it pretty clear that he has no interest in vigorously enforcing our immigration laws. They've called this a permiso, which they view as a permission slip to enter the country and stay. And unfortunately, unless we fix this loophole in this 2008 law, this is going to keep growing and escalating. And so that's what the Humane Act is designed to try to address.
Well, tell us exactly how it addresses that and how it closes the loophole.
Well, what it does is it requires that if an unaccompanied child, and many of these are teenagers, some of them are younger but brought usually with a parent, if they are detained, and many of them are turning themselves into Border Patrol because they want to exploit this loophole, but right under our change, if they would be required to be detained and they could not be released, and if they desired to make a claim, let's say they were a victim of human trafficking or they make a claim to asylum, then they would be given an opportunity to do that within 7 days. We would set that deadline, and the judge would have to make a decision within 72 hours. So within 10 days, without being released, they would have that opportunity. And the truth is, based on experience, that only a small fraction, probably less than 2%, would have a legitimate claim to stay. The rest would have to be returned to their home country of origin.
Well, I've read numerous stories, though, where, you know, there are very few who have a legitimate claim, but much more stay. That it's very few from at least Central America that are actually sent back. Now, Mexico is a different story, but Central America, very few are sent back. Is that not true?
That is currently true, and that's what we're trying to fix or stop. What the Humane Act would do would be to treat these unaccompanied children from non-contiguous countries like Central America the very same way we currently treat the children unaccompanied from Mexico. So this is designed to try to stop the flow and to deter people from starting this long, perilous journey in the first place, because the message is going to be, if we fix this by passing something like this, that you're not going to be able to stay, and that will be a deterrent.
Well, now this piece of legislation that I know you're working on has received criticism really from everybody, from both sides of the aisle. So congratulations. It's received bipartisan criticism here. address some of the criticisms that sure. Republicans have had. I know one of your colleagues, Senator Cruz, has another immigration policy that he's coming up with. How do these, you know, do these two mesh in any way, or how are they different? What do Republicans need to know about the differences here?
Yeah, there's no real conflict between what Senator Cruz is proposing and what we're proposing. I think he just feels like we need to go further and address this deferred action executive order that the president issued in 2012. Mm-hmm. And I agree, there's no doubt that that contributed to the perception that President Obama was less than serious about enforcing our immigration laws, which of course include deportation if you're not legally present. And I anticipate that we will come together on hopefully a single proposal, maybe later this week, that we will offer to this emergency appropriation bill that the president has requested. I'm concerned, though, that the real problem is the political problem the White House is having, because, as you know, the president is receiving a lot of pressure from people on the left and who are the immigration activists that support the Democrats, saying we need further leniency or when it comes to deportation, not more deportations. And what our bill would do is assure that more children would be returned to their country of origin.
Visiting with U.S. Senator John Cornyn about the Humane Act. In your piece to the National Review, mm-hmm. You said that basically the current law would not change. It just speeds up the deportation hearings. Is that basically the overall look of this bill?
Yeah, the main point I tried to make there, Chad, is that we don't change the substantive law with regard to asylum or other possible claims people would have under current law. We don't change any of that. All we do is make sure that nobody is released, never to be seen or heard from again, and that for those who have a claim, they get an opportunity to make it to a judge within 7 days. And, of course, if experience is any guide, the vast majority, 98%, will end up being returned home.
Do we have enough facilities right now to house people who are going to be kept? It seems like the reason why a lot of people are released is because we just don't have current facilities, enough facilities to house them.
That's correct. Yes, we don't have adequate detention facilities. And, you know, we had this experience actually in 2005 and 2006. We had a surge of people coming over from Brazil, some 30,000 in 2005. And the Bush administration at the time, Secretary Chertoff, Secretary of Homeland Security, realized that the fact that they were actually releasing people and not detaining them was a real loophole, again, like the 2008 law we just discussed. And so once they started detaining them and then returning them back on an expedited basis, that number went down by 50% the first month. It went down by 90% the second month. And so that's why I believe that based on that experience, we have an opportunity to deter a lot of people from coming in the first place, which will help alleviate some of the pressure on the border. And also we won't have to build huge permanent detention facilities for long because the numbers of people coming are going to go down.
Visiting with U.S. Senator John Cornyn here on the program about the Humane Act and also what is happening on the border. What do you think overall about Governor Perry's plan about putting National Guard troops on? It's 1,000 National Guard troops that'll be sent to a portion of the Texas border. Obviously, it won't cover the entire border. Right. Only 1,000 people won't be able to do that. What do you think about that overall plan? Will it have a huge impact?
Well, I'm proud of Governor Perry for filling this gap left by the federal government's failure to live up to its responsibilities. And I just think that he's showing some real leadership in a time when President Obama is missing in action. And he won't even come to the border, Chad. He won't even take an hour out of his fundraising schedule to come to the border to see it for himself and perhaps learn something that he didn't know. And if only just to say to the law enforcement officials that are working down there, working very hard, well done. I think Governor Perry has taken a necessary step. It's not a permanent solution, and as you point out, there's a lot more that needs to be done in order to secure our border. Last year alone, there were 414,000 people detained at the southwestern border from 100 different countries. I just met with General John Kelly, head of Southern Command, which covers everything south of Mexico for the United States military leadership. And basically, you know, this is a hotbed of drug trafficking and potential terrorist financing and other criminal activity that we need to be paying more attention to. And hopefully this current crisis will allow us to take a much more sober and reasoned approach to all of this area of the world, because we've pretty much neglected it given our focus in the Middle East.
Senator John Cornyn, appreciate your time today, and we'll speak to you in the future about what's happening on the border. I'm sure it won't be wrapped up anytime soon.
Thanks, Chad. Bye-bye.
Have a good one. That's Senator John Cornyn.